Man, a couple of thoughts. Hi, Zoom people. Nice to see you. A couple of thoughts as we've started a new year. You know, in reality, it's just another day. The sun rose like it did yesterday and it will tomorrow. But we as humankind artificially put points in the sand. And New Year's Day is one of those points where we can stop and reflect, can look back on 2022. We can look forward to 2023. We make rash commitments and promises about gyms and things like that. But my New Year's resolution for many, many, many years ago is don't make any New Year's resolutions. Then you never fail. Yeah, there you go. One of the things I just want to touch on a little bit this morning is restoring. We serve a God who restores. And the word restore has become important to me. You know, each year we talk about a word that the Lord may be sharing with us or showing us that gives us some emphasis or guidance, or, you know, it's not mystical anyway. It's the way the Lord gives us insights to things sometimes and gives us things to hang on to and see him working through them. And corporately, we've had different words through the years. The year we've just finished, our word that we shared was grow. And I know some of you had your own personal words. And we saw how the Lord brought growth in many ways here last year. I was just touched this morning, Monica, to see your message that you posted. And it was so beautiful how the Lord's grown in you and you've grown through 2022. And many of us can say that. And as a congregation, as a group of people, we've seen how we've grown in many ways. And growth isn't just numerical. It's about our relationship with the Father. It's about relationship with one another. It's about exercising our gifts and many, many other ways of growth. But I keep hearing the word, and I think the word restore is going to be important for us this year. Restoration is a great theme. It's throughout the whole of the Bible. You know, the Bible is all about restoration in many ways. It's all about Jesus. We can therefore take great courage and great comfort and great hope from Scripture that ensures us that the Lord wants to restore. And there's many scriptures that talk around it, especially in the Old Testament, where, you know, the Israelites got in that really down place. They got beaten up by the enemy. They lost their homes. And the Lord comes in. He says, I will restore. And he does. And then they go through it again. You know, you wonder why they keep going through it. But I guess I do that too. But restoration is a good word. Restore. Earlier last year, I guess now, we were reading Selwyn Hughes at home. And the phrase or the topic he got into was three words that really struck me. And I thought, oh, this is really important. And it's revealed, reversed, and restored. And of course, having restored at the end got my attention. And he was talking about these are the ways, or this is the ways of God. And if you don't understand the ways of God, then we don't always understand why we go through some of this, you know, cycle each time of revelation, reversal, and restoration. When the Lord comes, we have a revelation from him. The word, the purpose, the plans are revealed to us individually or corporately. But then very often that revelation is reversed. And we think, did I hear right? What was that all about? Nothing's happening. And I'm reminded of Susan when she shared with us just before going to Mexico last month. And she shared how that as a younger person, she'd had this dream of going to Mexico. And then it took, you know, a few decades before she had the opportunity last month to go and minister and serve in. The dream hadn't been lost, but it gets reversed sometimes and turned around. But the Lord restores that dream. Ken has been sharing with us too, in context of Susan's dream, that there's a dream that he and some of the congregation have had. It's 40 years old now, and they're still, Lord, when are you going to restore this dream, this vision, this revelation that you gave us? So that's the way God often works. You might have a revelation. You might have a dream. You might have a purpose that the Lord's revealed to you that's decades old. And you're thinking, Lord, will this ever happen? Now, I'm not going to make any promises to you personally this morning, prophetically or otherwise, that your revelation, your dream will happen this year. But I do believe the Lord wants to restore things in you and in us this year. I believe the word restore is a key word for us to hang on to. We do have to be careful when we talk about revelation, or sometimes that revelation comes through what we call a prophetic word. You know, someone, either a brother or a sister or a visiting ministry will speak prophetically, you know, say, well, the Lord had shown me this, and this is what the Lord's going to do in your life. And, you know, we need to receive those, but we need to be cautious with those and test what the Lord is doing. We don't want to hang on for the restoration of a dream that wasn't of God. But we do want to hang on for a dream and a purpose and a vision that is of God. So we need to be able to discern the difference. Don't want to get into too much this morning. We don't have a lot of time. But some of these things will start making us think about, how do we get the revelation? You know, if you think the Lord has shown you something, Nikki Gumbel tells us there's five ways of testing whether it's the Lord. And I just want to touch on those this morning. If you just remember those, then it'll be worth sharing and coming here today. Five C's, he calls them, and it's easy enough to find if you forget them. You just search Nikki Gumbel or Gumbel five C's, and it'll come up in Google quite quickly. But he says guidance from the Lord needs to have or be part of a commanding scripture. What does the Bible say about what you believe the Lord's revealed to you? Does it align with scripture? Is it biblical? People can say things, and that's great, but what they're sharing with you and speaking into your life, is it biblical? The second one, does it have a compelling spirit? How is the Holy Spirit leading you? Does it give you excitement? Do you feel like, yeah, that's God speaking to me? That's what the Holy Spirit has been showing me in my life, in my heart. Is there a compelling spirit? Third C, the counsel of the saints. You know, we're all important to each other. If you're not willing to share your revelation, your dream, your purpose with brothers and sisters, and you're not willing for them to say, well, maybe it's not quite like that, you know, then you know, we're hiding behind something that we shouldn't be. The counsel of the saints, share, and let's pursue these things together in the Lord. The fourth one, common sense. Does it make sense? Is it a logical thing? Now, God isn't always the God of common sense. We know that for sure. But often, if it doesn't seem sensible, then just pause a little bit. And if all the other four line up and that one's just looking a little odd, then maybe it is God. That's okay. But that's one of the ways looking at it. Does it make sense? Is there common sense in it? God guides our common sense and our reason. We often have that feeling inside, yeah, this is the right thing to be doing. And then the fifth one is circumstantial signs. As we're called to something, as the Lord gives us that revelation, as we're waiting for that dream to be restored, then circumstances begin to align. Many of us probably can share stories of how circumstances come into place and allow us to step into that. As you're listening to the Lord and you're wondering, what does he want to restore in this season? Then go back and remember these things, but align them with these points of guidance that become really important. So as Selwyn Hughes said, God's word is often revealed, it's reversed, and then it's restored. Revealed biblically is what you're seeing in the Bible. We've said that. It's so important. Is it biblical? And God often speaks to us and reveals things to us as we read the scriptures. So that's an important place to be. And I think we're going to just take time over the next little while, or you need to. And there's a personal revelation. There's a personal restoration, but there's also a corporate. Now, what does it mean to us as West Ottawa Community Church as much as what does it mean to me as Graham? Now, there's two things going on here. And we need to be aware of both of them. That revelation comes for us personally, but also for us corporately. When it's reversed, that's the, is my dream dead? Was I wrong in thinking that? Did the Lord really speak to me? Was that a true revelation? We go through that. And these are the ways of God that Selwyn Hughes was trying to put out. If you don't know the ways of God, then you become depressed when you get that challenge come along. That reversal hits you. And sometimes it's the Lord allowing it. Sometimes it's the enemy attacking, Satan trying to take away the plans of God. Sometimes it's just life. But if we don't understand the ways of God, then we can't get through that time of reversal. And that's really important. But the revelation of God will always, always come to pass. He will restore what he has shown you and shown us as a congregation. It will happen. And I think in many ways, and it's not, you know, a one-time shot, as we saw with the Israelites. You come up, you go down, you come up, you go down. You know, as a congregation, we've done the same things over the years. Now, this year is the 50th anniversary of this church. Hey, and some people have been there from the beginning. Hey, not me, I'm a newcomer. Only 30-something. But the Lord had a plan. And over the years, he's revealed things restored things, and we're in that season, I believe, of restoration for this church. We're starting to see it. We've seen growth. We've seen change. We've seen transition over the last couple of years, and the Lord has a purpose. He doesn't bring people together by mistake. He doesn't look at his church and say, wonder how he got in. He says, no, I have called you. And this is how we were praying. I have prepared you. I have provisioned for you. I have empowered you. I want you where you are. So as we look for restoration, it's one of those words. There's a few words that we use from scripture and in our, you know, Christianese. Restoration is one of them. It kind of sounds like, well, God's got to do something for me. We put the onus on God. We expect him to do all the restoring. As I was preparing and looking at this idea for this morning, I thought, well, actually, wait a minute. It's not all on God. God wants to restore, but there's a lot of it on me. I need to restore some things as well. And it's not about us just receiving the blessing of God. As much as we would like that, it's a nice place to be. You know, oh, trouble, God, fix it. Thank you. No, it will provide. But hey, let's take you through a learning process. Let's make you dependent on me. I want to restore some things in you as well. Great picture of that, of course, in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son. You know, we all know that story very well, so I won't bother reading it out. You can find it in Luke chapter 15, and it's in verses 11 to 32. But we know the story. But through that, we can see the process that the son that ran away, he reversed what the father had given him, and he went into this life of licentiousness and got to a point where he had to recognize the wrong place. He was no longer in the father's house. You know, he'd had a calling. He was born into the father's house. He was a son, but he had drifted off. He'd taken the wrong approach. But then we see in verse 17, he came to his senses. I love that phrase in the parable there. He came to his senses. Wow, I've done so much wrong. I've gone away. I'm in a wrong place. I'm in a bad place. You know, even the servants in my father's house are better than this. He came to his senses. But he then had to repent and return home. It wasn't the father said, oh, okay, it's all good now. You're not now my son, you're coming. No, he had to go through this process of restoration. He had to repent. He had to return home. Verse 18, he set out to go home to say, Father, I have sinned. He had to receive restoration as sonship. Now we talk a lot about father and son. Of course, hopefully you understand when I talk about us all being sons being restored to fatherhood, that's as equal to me being the bride. Okay, I'm happy being a bride, so you can all be happy being sons. But it's the way, it's the language of the Bible, you know, and it helps us just understand this relationship of father and son. For all of us, in that sense, we're all sons, and we receive restoration of sonship. You know, we read in verse 20 of that passage, the father saw him coming. So although the son needed to do some action, he needed to repent, turn around, he needed to return, he needed to come asking for forgiveness, the father was looking out. And the father saw him coming, and the father started that restoration because he ran to his son. What an amazing picture of God in our lives. And then it concludes, you know, verses 22 to 24, the father was lavish in his restoration. I think that's the word you were trying to use a couple of weeks ago, Chuck. He was lavish in what he does. And there was rings, there was a cloak, there was a fatted calf, there was a party. All his friends came. They were celebrating because of the restored son. So, you know, this great picture of restoration. But it starts with us to be restored. or the vision, the dream to be restored, we need to make sure we come back. Anything that's got in the way needs to be put right. We need to restore a relationship to the Father. We need to restore a relationship to Jesus' Lordship in our lives. And we need to restore Holy Spirit as the one who empowers us. So in these two responsibilities, you know, we restore our practices and the Father restores the fruits, the outworking of that. So I think some of the things we're looking at, I'm not saying any of us are failing at this particularly, but if you're like me, we can always press in a little bit harder. But some of the things I think we could restore in our lives individually and corporately, and we've done some of it this morning, you know, Bible reading. Often people start a new Bible reading plan on January the 1st. Oh, I've still got 12 hours. And, you know, reading scripture is really important. And how you do it doesn't matter. What you use as a tool to do it doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're reading the Bible. You're getting into the passage. Don't read one verse in the Bible and two pages of someone's interpretation. Do it the other way around. Read two pages of the Bible and one paragraph on the interpretation. Allow God to speak to you through the Bible. Prayer. We've been praying this morning corporately, and the power of prayer is so important. Let's work at restoring prayer in this congregation, restoring it greater than it already is. Towards the end of last year, we were seeing some great restoration of prayer Monday nights as we prayed in the lounge. Let's build on that. Let's restore prayer in our lives individually, but also as a community. Meeting together. You know, Hebrews 10:25, let's not give up meeting together. And even more as we see the day coming. Hope. Let's restore hope. So many hopeless people. I know the fact that we can come here means we have hope. But there's lots of people in our lives, in our families, our neighbors that have no hope. Let's restore hope. Relationships. We need to restore relationships. Families. We need to see families restored. There's all these things we can be working in. Restore his presence. Let's recognize his presence daily, continually in my life. And whatever else he's showing you. These are just a few examples of things that we can always restore in our practice as believers, as sons and daughters of the King. Maybe he's showing you something right now. Maybe Holy Spirit is just making you think, oh, yeah, I really need to work on that this year. Let's restore these things in the kingdom, in his presence. And it's not a bribe, but Father, we'll be much happier because we turned and went back home and said, Lord, I can only be a servant. And he says, no, you're still a son. But there was a beginning of that restoration is us turning to him. And then he will restore the things that he's promised us. That dream, that revelation, that purpose in our lives. So I think we'll be seeing a number of things. My heart is full of the things that I see Father wanting to restore amongst us. And we don't have time to go through them this morning. Maybe next time I speak, we'll talk more about some of these things and what it means to us and how we do that. What do we build together in the power of Holy Spirit? But it may seem like a long time since you had that revelation. And God wants to restore it this morning or this year. You know, Abraham waited 25 years. Joseph waited 13 years. Moses waited 25 years. Jesus waited 30 years. So if it's been a long time, you're in good company. Don't ever give up on the dream, the revelation that God has given you. It may only be 5 minutes old. Maybe the Lord spoke to you this morning and has revealed something to you for this year. It's never, you know, it doesn't have to be old to be restored, but keep going in it. But understand the ways of God. If God is putting something on your heart for this year that you really want to press into, just be aware that there may be a reversal that causes you to press in more to see the restoration of the vision. One last caution that we need to be careful about when thinking of the revelation of the Lord, the purpose, the vision, the plan, the dream, whatever you want to call it, what God has put in us, you know, don't restore what God is not yet restoring. We can restore through our own strength. We can cause things to happen. If it's not God's timing, then don't do it. You know, we see the promise for Abraham and Sarah. the promise of a son. As we just saw, they had to wait 25 years before Isaac came. But they tried to create the promise, and Ishmael was born. Let's not create Ishmaels by trying to generate the revelation in our lives, but let's allow our Lord to truly restore the revelation that he's given you. So let's continue this week as we go into the new year. And right now, Scott and the team, if you come forward, I want to worship the Lord as we conclude our morning together, as we declare his presence and worship him for what he's done.